Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hey, if you're visiting with us, we are glad you got the time right. And we're glad you made it through the cold. I was laundering my shorts, getting ready for spring. And then I hear that there's a blizzard on the way. Say it ain't so. But I'm glad that if there is indeed a blizzard, if the weatherman is indeed correct, I'm glad that my son is home because he can help me shovel some snow. So as you know, we are studying, our series is by faith, and we're trying to get our minds and our hearts around this idea of faith. We're trying to understand it better. And we realize that one sermon, one quiet time, one sort of dive into faith doesn't really do the job, because faith is a lot more complex than we think it is. And so we have to really, dig deeper into what the idea of faith is. And we just felt like, hey, let's study Hebrews chapter 11 and let's really wrap our minds around this idea of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the person that we're going to talk about is Abraham. And in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. In verse 8, it says that Abraham, when called to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You know, who was this man Abraham? We know from the Old Testament, we're going to turn there in a little bit, that Abraham was born and raised in a city called Ur. And it was a city, they call it Ur of the Chaldeans. He grew up in a culture that worshipped the sun god. And Ur happens to be in modern day Iraq. What did Abraham look like? We don't really know. We don't know if he had curly hair or kinky hair. We don't know if he was heavy set or slim. The Bible doesn't tell us much about what he looks like. If his teeth were nicely capped. Doesn't say anything about that. But what we do know is about the choices that he made. We know that by his choices we were able to understand the faith behind them. And if you want to go to that next slide where it talks about the definition of faith. Faith, in the Greek definition of that word faith, the Greek word is hypostasis, and it means to place or set under. Something that underlies the apparent, that which is the basis of something. So in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 and 2 it says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. What he's talking about is that faith is the basis, is the underlying foundation of the decisions that we make. And that's what we see in Abraham. Abraham made some challenging decisions, but the basis behind his decisions and the choices that he made was an unwavering faith in the Word of God. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to sort of organize my thoughts around three main concepts: the call, the promise, and the response. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12. It says, in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So let's talk about the call. This was the first time when the Lord called Abraham. And the message was clear. Leave. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household. Leave. God begins the discussion with Abraham with a challenge. Leave. Why does God challenge Abraham to leave? God knows that we are influenced by the people who are around us. We're influenced by our culture. We're influenced by our friends. We're influenced by the people in our household. And sometimes it's easy to leave your country. Sometimes it's easy to leave the people who you would consider your family. But you see, when it gets to your father's household, your immediate family, the people who you grew up around and who raised you, that becomes a real challenge, doesn't it? But you see, God knew that if Abraham was to embrace the vision that he had for him, Abraham had to remove himself from the sphere of influence of all these people. And let me tell you something. Close relationships can have a negative influence on your life. You may have a friend, a close friend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend that may be influencing you right now to not follow God. And we have to understand this. If we want to follow God, if we want to really embrace God's dream and God's vision for us, we've got to be willing to leave those relationships, to leave those friendships that hinder us and that draw us away from God. Abraham had to remove himself from the orbit of their influence. And if you turn to Mark chapter 10, we see this same theme in the Gospels. Sometimes we go, well, you know, that must have been just an Old Testament requirement, Sean. No, well, in the Gospels, look at what the conversation that Jesus had with Peter in Mark 10, verse 28 to 31. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." You remember that? And what did Jesus say? "I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Peter, in having this discussion with Jesus, he said, "Listen, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you." And Jesus actually didn't try to dampen what he experienced. He says, "Absolutely. Absolutely, because I am God in the flesh. You must be willing to make these sacrifices." And he even goes on further to affirm Peter's decision. He says, "Anyone who has left home, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children." Man, that's challenging, isn't it? Especially if you're a parent. But you almost get the impression that Jesus expects us, if the need arose, that we would be willing to forsake all others to follow him. Now, there's no way you could hear something like that and start fist pumping. This stuff is challenging, isn't it? It is emotionally challenging. Because any desire to follow God will bring tension and conflict that we cannot avoid. Your friends and your family can distort your view of the world and your view of God. And anyone who wants to respond to God's call will inevitably have to deal with this emotional tension. There's no way you can say that you're going to follow God or respond to God's call and not experience some relational conflict. And anyone who is afraid to embrace that conflict is basically saying, I prefer my current situation over following you. I know that's hard teaching, right? But you got to study it out. You got to ask yourself, is this the truth? And study it out. Let's talk about the promise. Let's go to the next slide, the promise. Not only did God challenge Abraham to leave his family and the place where he grew up, but he gave him a promise. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, a lot of times, we like to hear the promises, don't we? We love when God makes his promises, right? But we've got to understand that this is a two-way relationship. God is going to do his part, provided Abraham does his part. What was Abraham's part? You got to leave. You got to leave this place. You got to get out from under these people. And you got to go to the place where I will show you. And he explains why. And if you notice in these promises, who is the central figure here? God. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. The central personality here in this promise is God. So what God is asking Abraham to do is to put his trust in him. Instead of you trying to make your name great, let me make your name great. Instead of you pursuing your dreams and pursuing what you perceive to be a blessing, trust me. And I will make sure you're blessed. And so the central personality here in this promise is God. And what Abraham had to do is he had to surrender his dream for himself, his idea of what blessings look like. He had to surrender all of that and put his life and his future in the hands of God. But there's something very special contained in this promise that it's easy to miss. In the bottom there it says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So this is a huge vision. You're talking about a guy who just had a very small family. It was him and his wife. He had no kids. At the time of his calling, he had some servants. He had a bunch of livestock. But he didn't have any children. And God is telling him that his vision for him was going to be worldwide. And you go, man, how is that possible? Well, when God says to him in Genesis 12, he says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What God is referring to is the advent of Jesus Christ. Because the fulfillment of that promise came when Jesus came to this earth. And Jesus, through his sacrifice, blessed all people. How? By giving all men and all women of every language, of every tribe, and in every nation, an opportunity to have their sins forgiven and to have a relationship with God. And so the fulfillment of this promise that God made to Abraham came thousands of years after Abraham died. And here's the thing that we got to understand when God makes promises. He's not just thinking about he's not just thinking about you and me in this present generation. He's also thinking about future generations. And that's how we have to understand how God thinks. A lot of times when we think about God blessing us with a promise, we think in the here and now, don't we? We think, okay, let me feel that promise now, Lord. Let me feel that blessing. But sometimes when God makes a promise to you, some of it is in the here and now. But sometimes we don't even see the fulfillment of the promises that he made to us. Sometimes the fulfillment of those promises take generations to come to pass. And so we got to understand how God thinks. He's not just thinking about us in the 70 plus years that we're living on this earth. When God makes a promise to you, he's thinking really long term, long after you and I are gone, as is the case with Abraham. Abraham never saw the fulfillment of that promise, but he believed it and he obeyed it. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. You know, this notion that Abraham could be a blessing to others. It's so important for us because in our culture, we live in a very self-centered culture. It's all about me. It's all about what I'm going to get. It's all about me. It's all about myself, my look, and how I look, and how people perceive me, right? We live in the selfie generation. But when God made that promise to Abraham, he says that you will be a blessing to other nations. God said, I'm going to bless you, but it's not just for yourself. It's so that you can bless other people. And it's so important as Christians, I think, to understand that as God blesses us, he's not just blessing us for our own self-fulfillment and for us to feel good about ourselves. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to other people. We see that concept in the life of Jesus. In Mark 10, 45, you know, Jesus' purpose in his life, this is what he declared, you know, that this is my mission. This is the reason why I came. His purpose in life was to be a blessing to others. And in Mark 10, verse 45, he said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he realized that, yeah, God has blessed me with a lot, but my purpose here is to be a blessing to other people. And so we've got to remember that this idea for us as Christians that we got to embrace, that we were not saved simply to be saved and to glory and magnify in our salvation. We were saved to save others. We got to remember that. We received that blessing. The blessing of salvation. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. There can be and there is no greater blessing than to know that our sins are forgiven. And as Desmond talked about so powerfully, our sins are forgiven. God has forgotten them. That is the greatest blessing of my life. To go to bed with a clear conscience. To go to bed not worried about eternal judgment. To go to bed secure and knowing I'm doing my part to keep myself holy and pure and righteous. Let me tell you something. There is a peace of mind that passes all understanding. You hear me? And so we got to remember, brothers and sisters, that's the greatest blessing. And we have it. And now our role in our lifetime is to share that blessing with others. It's to help people to see, hey, listen, man, the answer to your problems is not in drugs. It's not in self-destructive behavior. It's not in sin. It's not in anger. The answer to your problems is having your sins forgiven and being at peace with God. There are many people who do not even know that that is the answer to their problems. And that's our role in this fallen world. To educate, to inspire, and to illuminate the truth from the gospel to those who are around us. Let's talk about Abraham's response. So Abraham got a call. Abraham received the promise. But Abraham had to respond. And this is the thing. God can call you and God can tell you all these blessings. But at the end of the day, God expects us personally to respond. I can't control how you respond to God's call. I can only control my response. Now, I can try to encourage you. I can try to inspire you. I can try to even admonish you. But I cannot make you respond to God's call. That is on you. That is your personal, that is your private, and that is your individual decision. And you have to live with the decisions that you make. And you have to give an account to God eventually. You with me here? All right. Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Don't you love it? He was called to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, even though he did not know. That's acting in faith. Not knowing. Not seeing. But going because God has said this is where to go. That's trusting God. That's obeying God. That's acknowledging His authority in your life. Some of us really would struggle if we receive that call. I want you to go to a place I'm going to tell you later. If we receive that call, some of us, the first thing we would do is pull out our spreadsheets. I go, okay, God, I want to know what's going to happen on this day and where am I going to eat and where am I going to have lunch and what's going to happen the next day. We would want to have a detailed analysis of how it's all going to happen. Why are we like that? Because we live in what economists call a knowledge-based society. We place a great deal of emphasis on knowing things. We receive data and we make decisions based on data, right? We have information that there is going to be a snowstorm on Tuesday. And we love it. We have a sense of security. I know. We have our cell phones and oh, this is how much data you're using. And here's all the analysis. That's, you got to understand, this is the society that we live in. It is data driven. But we got to understand that our need for knowledge suffocates our ability to live by faith. Some people, when they find out that there's someone who's open and wants to study the Bible, they struggle. Because it's like, why are you telling me today? You should have told me a month ago. I need to plan it. It just doesn't work that way. If someone's open today, he's open today. Nobody is in control of that. but the person who is hearing God talking to their heart. And some of us, we want advance notice for everything. And I want to tell you guys, it just doesn't work like that with God all the time. That's where faith comes in. God called Abraham to a place and he did not even know where he was going. Now, let's go to the next slide. Let's look at this journey. In that map here, that bottom arrow to the right is where Abraham was born. It should have a sign on there called Ur, but it doesn't have it. Let me take this microphone off. All right. The top part there is Haran. Apparently, Abraham and his dad moved to Haran. And it was in Haran where Abraham received the call. And then he had to journey all that way down. We're talking several miles. Right. And this was pre-Delta days, pre-Uber. Right. He's doing this on foot. Okay, now let's also try to get this in perspective. Abraham was he was 75 years old, right? Now I'm going to be 53 this year, and to get to church this morning, okay, let's just say it was challenging, and I drove, all right, just getting out of bed and all that stuff. This man is 75 years old, and this journey he's making on foot, right? On top of that, he has his wife, whose wife is also in her 70s, right? And you sisters know, as things get older, as you get older, you need to know details, right? I mean, hey, you need to know specifics, their health challenges. So he's got to talk to his wife and get her on board with this. It doesn't just end there. You know, Abraham had at least 318 trained men in addition to whoever else he had. He had to get a whole posse, over 300 people, to join him. And then it's the livestock issue. Okay, Abraham was independently wealthy. He had a bunch of livestock. And, you know, you're talking about cattle, feeding, babies being born, little baby animals, herding them together. This is a huge undertaking. Where are we going, Abraham? I don't know. Right? Later on, you're going to find out that Abraham, you know, when you live in the city, obviously, there's fixed places of abode and everything like that. When you're on the move like that, you're living in tents. So let's say it was a step down. There are a lot of things going on here, brothers and sisters, that we can easily miss. But that the scriptures exalt and honor Abraham because of the choice that he made. But let's not underestimate the difficulty of this journey. God also changed Abraham's status. Abraham became an immigrant. Sometimes we can miss that. Because he's loving life in Haran. And now he's become an immigrant. So think about this. He's from Iraq. He's an immigrant with no papers wanting to go to a promised land. Think about that. The combination of being an undocumented immigrant from Iraq in our political context is really challenging, isn't it? That was Abraham. And why did he make that decision? Because God called him. Why did he go through all that difficulty? Because God called him. And that was his faith. That's what faith is. I'm going to go wherever God calls me. And I will embrace whatever comes along on that journey because of my faith. So I want to close out with a question here. Is God calling me? We all should ask that question. Is God calling me? Is God calling you? Is he? And look at Acts chapter 2. It says in verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The scripture says that God is calling all people. He's calling men and women. He's calling young men. And he's calling old men. You know, Abraham was 75 years old. In our society, you're supposed to be retired. You're supposed to be on a golf course. Abraham is packing up his whole family and going on this crazy move. That is completely against what our society says a 75-year-old man should do. We got to wrestle with these things. God calls old men and young men. He calls sons and daughters to dream, to see visions. And he says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I believe that God calls everyone. And how does he do it? I don't really know. I don't really know how he's going to call you. I know how he called me. I don't really know what mechanisms he's using to speak to you. Sometimes it's a dream. You ever had those really strange dreams that like, what was that all about? God speaks to us in dreams. Sometimes God speaks to us through his servants. Sometimes he speaks to us by strangers on the road. Sometimes things happen to us that just seem really, really odd and really strange. I'll tell you, I think that God, a lot of times God doesn't just shout at you, but he speaks real quietly to you when you're laying your head down on the pillow and no one is there. He's got your attention. And it's these proddings. These like, do this, go here, listen to that person. You got to ask yourself, where does that come from? It's God's spirit. He calls men and women everywhere to have a relationship with him. Is God calling you today to have a relationship with him? For some of us, we have to ask ourselves, is God calling us to a unique role to serve in his church? You know, just like how God's Spirit moved Nehemiah to go back and to Jerusalem and build a wall. Is God calling you to serve in a unique role in the church? You hear him. He speaks. He sees you. He knows who you are. But you've got to respond. Is God calling you to a greater level of spiritual maturity? Some of us may be just frustrated with our lack of spiritual growth. You're experiencing the same thing over and over again. And don't you just feel like, man, there's more to my Christianity than this. Have you ever felt that? I have. At different points in my life. Where does that come from? That comes from God calling you and saying, you need to make different choices. You need to make better decisions. You need to start devoting yourself to the Word of God, to prayer, and to the body of Christ. Sometimes it's the choices that we make that enable us to become spiritually weak. God is saying, hey, I've got a greater vision. I've got a greater dream for your life. At the end of the day, God can call, God can promise, but at the end of the day, isn't it up to us to respond? And I want to encourage you and urge you to listen to God's call. He is speaking. He has spoken through generations, and I believe he speaks to you now. God loves you and has a vision for your life, and he will communicate his dream to you in a very personal and intimate way. I want to encourage you, don't put God off. Be like Abraham. Walk in his steps. Obey the call of God. Trust him. And let him show you his blessings. Amen.